first reading is from John chapter 14, starting at verse 15.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because neither sees him or knows him, nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
You heard me say, "I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave."
The second reading will be from Psalm 36, verses 1 to 12. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise.
Well, good morning. My name's Bob. If you don't know me, I'm going to do something this morning that I haven't done for about 27 years. I'm going to tell a kid story, because we've got kids here. About 27 years ago, when my kids were roughly this age, I stood up here and I preached a sermon as a kid's story. And then my kids grew up, so I stopped doing it. But now I've got grandkids who are about that age. So you will recognise one of the names in this story, and I've apologised to the rest of the family, and I apologise to my other grandkids as well for not including more characters in this story, because I had to keep the number of characters limited. But it's going to be relevant for the kids. In fact, two-thirds of my sermon this morning is kids' stories. So if you can switch off, if you're an adult and you really want to switch off, I hope that I'm going to be able to keep you engaged. So we will see how we go. Where's the clicker? Oh, there it is. Got it. Okay, yeah. Look, now, this is how the story goes. Okay. Lily has been having problems with kids at school bullying her. School holidays start tomorrow, so Mum and Dad decide to take Lily and her brother and sister, okay guys, wherever you are, to the beach for a break. But when they get to the beach, they find that the water's too rough for them to go in swimming. So Dad suggests that they play in a rock pool instead. And Lily finds a bottle floating in the rock pool. She opens the bottle. It has in it a piece of paper, but no message written on the paper. But as Lily looks at the piece of paper more closely, she notices that there's a faint message written on the paper. Lily changes the angle of the paper so that she can see, and she can barely read it. She can just make out the words, "Don't worry about evil people." Lily shows the piece of paper to Dad, but Dad can't see anything. Later that night, Lily is thinking about that message, "Don't worry about evil people," as she sits in her bedroom. But this time, she can't see any writing. She leaves the message on her desk, and she turns off the light, and she goes to sleep, and she wakes up in the middle of the night to see the words of the note glowing dimly on the page on her desk. "Don't worry about evil people. They don't care about me because they are blind. They can't see that I'm real. But Lily, you can see." Lily thinks it's strange that the letters glow, and she wonders about the meaning of those strange words as she drifts off to sleep again. The next day, as soon as Lily gets home from school, she goes straight to her bedroom and reads that message again. And this time she can see more words than before. And she adjusts the angle of the paper and moves it a bit closer until she can see all these new words. And the message goes like this: "Lily, this is a message from God in your heart. Don't worry about the bullies. They bully you because they can't see me, and they're not afraid of me because they think I don't exist, and they don't know what I can do to them. They only think they're better than everyone else because they can't see how bad they are. They can't see the wickedness in their own heart. But Lily, I'm going to put a light in your heart so that you can see in your heart things that other people can't see. Lily, you can see the words written on this paper because of the light shining in your heart. And I will make this light shine brighter and brighter until you can see more and more of what I reveal." Even as Lily reads these words, they become brighter on the page, clearer and easier to read. Lily can't wait for Dad to get home from work. And as soon as Dad walks in the door, Lily yells out, "Dad! Dad! You know that piece of paper I found in that bottle? The words are really easy to read now." "Just a minute," says Dad. "Just give me a few minutes to unwind and relax, and then you can show it to me." 5 minutes later, when Dad is settled in the lounge room, Lily eagerly holds out the piece of paper for Dad to read. "You have to hold it at just the right angle, Dad, so the light shines on it just right. And there's a lot more words on it now." Dad takes the piece of paper. He looks at it closely. He flips it over and looks at the other side. He tilts it this way and that way. "I can't see anything, Lily. Not a single word. It must be very faint. And your eyes, well, they're a lot younger than mine. I'm sorry, Lily, but I just can't see anything on this paper." "Well, Dad, I can't see anything either when you're holding it in your hands. Here, let me hold it, says Lily. And so Lily grasps the sheet of paper and she holds it closer to herself, but out in front where Dad can see it. There, Dad, can you see it now? Nope. Still can't see a thing. Lily's getting frustrated. Dad, look, right there on the page. This is a message from God to your heart, Lily. Bullies pick on other people because they think they're better than other people, but they can't see how bad they are themselves. They can't see their own sin, and they can't see God's judgment that is coming upon them. Well, Lily, says Dad, I'm pleased that you understand that because it's true. Bullies can't see the badness in their own hearts. It is so true, Dad, Lily exclaims. I know it's true. Before I knew it in my head that it was true, but now I know in my heart that it's true. Just a minute, says Dad. You say you know in your heart that it's true. Totally, Dad. They can't see God. They can't see their own hearts, so they don't care. But I know it for sure in my heart. Lily, Dad pauses to reflect. When you first read out to me the message yesterday at the beach, you said that the message started with something like, this is a message from God to your heart. That's right, answers Lily, pointing to the first line of invisible text. It says it right there on that very first line, a message from God in my heart. Murmurs Dad. Maybe what you are seeing on that piece of paper is not actually on the paper, but rather you're seeing it in your heart so clearly that somehow it's being reflected from your heart onto the paper. Maybe that's why you can see it and I can't. Well, says Lily, I've noticed that as I hold the paper closer to my heart, the words shine more brightly and more clearly. So maybe it is coming from my heart. So that means, says Dad, you're seeing with the eyes of your heart things that other people can't see with the eyes that are in their head. That piece of paper is reflecting what God has shown you in your heart. That's why it starts off with, I have a message from God in my heart. Lily, this is a gift from God. It's an understanding that comes from God. You need to treasure this. Lily went back into her room, thoughtful, wondering about this gift that God has given her. The ability to read a message on a blank sheet of paper, truths that were written on her heart. As the years went by, Lily kept that message from God in a safe place. From time to time, she would take it out and read it. Sometimes the words on the paper shone with a brilliance that lit up her dark bedroom at night. At other times, the words were too faint to read. Lily came to learn that when she was closest to Jesus, in her thoughts and in her feelings, that's when the words were brightest on the page. It was when she was furthest from God that the words almost but not quite disappeared. But over a period of several years, as she grew to know and love Jesus more and more, more words gradually became visible on that piece of paper. Not just words of understanding about the way bad people think, but words about God's love for her. And with each passing year, Lily came to see and understand God's love more clearly in her heart. And the words she could see in the message always reflected the words that were in her heart. When she felt love for God, she saw words to express that love written on the piece of paper. Words like this: Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. Lily was seeing and reading her own heart for God on that piece of paper. There were times over those years when those words became dim, almost invisible. And Lily learned to recognize that as a sign that she was drifting away from Jesus. So she would read and study the Bible again and seek God more and keep on seeking until the words became bright and clear again. Well, that's as far as the story goes now, but don't stop listening, okay? Because if I was going to keep on writing the story, I'd write something like this. I'd write about that light that enables people who belong to Jesus to see things, to see truths, truths that are revealed only by God to the eyes of our heart. David starts Psalm 36 with those words, "I have a message from God on my heart." What does he mean by that? In the second half of verse 9, he says, "In your light we see light. In your light we see light." What does that mean? And what does that say about the rest of the psalm? Did David just write that? He thought, hey, that'd be a good little saying to put on a fridge magnet. I'll just put it in there so I don't forget it. Or does it actually have something to do with that whole psalm? You know, I think David is saying that God gives him sight, insight into spiritual things that other people who are not in Christ can't see. And that's not make-believe. That's not just a children's story. It's a biblical fact. God enlightens our minds, our hearts, to see things that people who are not in Christ cannot see. And that ability to see reality, it doesn't just change the way we see the world. It transforms us personally, and it transforms our view of God. And it changes how we feel when other people, when bad people, treat us badly. Because we can see something about those people that we couldn't see before. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about light in us, light from God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." In Jesus, this is John 1, 4 and 5. "In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it." There, you will have friends who don't understand Jesus. It's because that light, their darkness inside them, and they don't understand the light of God. There's so much in the Bible about the fact that normal, unsaved people who don't follow Jesus cannot comprehend the things that are revealed in the Bible. Matthew 13:13. Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Unsaved people with their physical eyes can't see spiritual truths. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, quoting Jeremiah 31. "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord." He's speaking about the new covenant. He's talking about the New Testament. He's talking about a time that hasn't come in the time of Jeremiah. He says, "I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds." Though the Old Testament, through the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, God makes a promise that a time will come when the word of God will be written on the human heart in a way that is not the case, that wasn't the case before the coming of Jesus Christ, before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Old Testament saints didn't have what we have, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the word of God in our hearts. New Testament believers have a spiritual gift that they never had. But we have a responsibility to guard that word carefully. Luke 11:33-36 says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Let's go back to Psalm 36, verse 1, where David says, "I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And in Psalm 36 and verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." In Christ, we can see things. Truly, brothers and sisters in Christ, you can see things in the light of Christ that unsaved people cannot see. I think David is saying God has given us an insight, he's given us a spiritual insight into human nature. He's given us an ability to see into the heart of people who behave badly, to see how they reason, to see how they justify their cruel actions, because they're blind to the state of their own heart and they become proud and arrogant. And David says in verse 12 that he can see their ultimate downfall. He says, "See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise." We can actually feel sorry for those people who are like bullies to us, because, wow, it's not going to finish up well for them in the end. And David's unwritten response to that is, "I don't have to worry when people mistreat me, because I can see what makes them tick, and ultimately they will have to answer to God for their actions." But David sees a whole lot more than just the heart of the wicked. Verses 5-7. "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." So he also sees in this message in his heart from God, he sees in the light of God that illuminates the world around him, he sees the love of God in verse 5. He sees the faithfulness of God that reaches as high as the sky. He sees the righteousness of God like the highest mountains. He sees the justice of God, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, Paul describes it in Ephesians, of the love of God. He sees how great God is in his glory. And then in verse 7, he comes back to it again, the pricelessness of God's unfailing love. David is seeing the glory of God. He's seeing the glory of God demonstrated in his love, demonstrated in his faithfulness, his righteousness, his justice. That's what the glory of God is, the love, the righteousness, the faithfulness, the justice of God. Now, going back to our story of Lily, those verses didn't appear on Lily's sheet of paper until later in Lily's life. You know what? It takes a lifetime for us to fully appreciate the glory of God as it is demonstrated in God's love and faithfulness and righteousness and justice. God's love is a demonstration of his glory. God's faithfulness is a demonstration of his glory, his righteousness, his justice. David was able to see those things. But you know what? We see something that David never saw. We see God's love and faithfulness and righteousness and justice demonstrated in a way that David didn't have the privilege of seeing. Two reasons. One, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit in our hearts to enlighten us in a way that the Old Testament saints didn't have. But secondly, there's another reason. When I was back in theological college, they used to talk about, they used to ask us, is the Bible theocentric or is the Bible Christocentric? What does that mean? Is the Bible centered around God or is the Bible centered around Jesus Christ? Now, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is God, but just bear with me. Is the Bible centered around God as a whole, the Trinitarian God, or is the Bible centered around Jesus Christ? And my thought at the time was, well, the whole of the Bible is about God, the Trinitarian God. So surely the Bible is theocentric. But the lecturer said, no, the Bible is Christocentric. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, of course Jesus is in there, but you know, like, and I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. Until when you think about it, and I want you to think about this. If the Bible is about the glory of God, and it is, where do we see God's glory demonstrated in his love? God demonstrates his love, Romans 5:8, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love in Christ on the cross. Where do we see God's demonstration of his faithfulness to his Old Testament promises that he would redeem his people? Where do we see God's faithful promises in the Old Testament fulfilled? In Jesus Christ. Where do we see God's righteousness demonstrated above all else? We see the righteousness of God in saving us from our sins, but still punishing our sins in Jesus Christ on the cross. The righteousness of God is demonstrated on the cross. Where do we see the justice of God demonstrated? On the cross. God demonstrates his glory more than anywhere else on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why we always come back to Jesus Christ. David, he had a taste of God's glory, God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, God's justice, higher than the heavens, like the mountains, deeper than the depths, that we see now in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father, open our eyes, we pray, that as we grow in this life and as we move on into eternity, we pray that you would enable us to see your glory more and more in the cross of Jesus Christ, and that with the angels in eternity in heaven, we might give praise and glory to you and to the Lamb who sits on the throne, because he redeemed us from our sins. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.